10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Two autopsies, one body, and the answer after 18 days of waiting is a single word, undetermined. The independent autopsy results for Nolan Wells dropped at the NAACP National Convention in Chicago. Ben Crum stood at the podium and told the country his pathologist could not rule out foul play. His specific one. A former medical examiner looked at the same findings and said that they don't point to foul play at all. Both of them, I guess, technically correct, and both of them are leaving out the part that changes everything, because the autopsy answers two completely separate questions, and everybody with a microphone is pretending it only answers one. Before we get to what the independent autopsy found, you need to understand what it didn't have. Dr. Roger Mitchell received Nolan Wells' body in Washington, D.C. on July 10th. Mitchell is the former chief medical examiner of D.C. and the president of the National Medical Association. Thousands of autopsies in his career. He's the man you want to go to if you want a second opinion. But a second opinion isn't the same as a first opinion. We'll get to all that and explain it. Colin Kaepernick paid for the examination. The family sent their son's body across the country because they wanted a pathologist with zero connection to Mississippi law enforcement. Fair enough. By the time Mitchell opened that body, the state of Mississippi had already performed a full autopsy 3 days earlier. And the state's autopsy had access to things Mitchell never could. It's not like they were hiding it. It's just when you do an autopsy, you get one first round of doing an autopsy, and that's just how it works. You can't peel an orange a second time. It just, that's how it works. And the state's autopsy had access to, like I said, things Mitchell never could, because they were the ones conducting the first autopsy. That is how any autopsy would work. The organs had been removed, dissected, and placed back inside the body cavity. The brain had been removed, and the anterior neck structures, the trachea, the hyoid bone, the internal throat, were not with the body at all. Now, before you go, what's that all about? Well, talk to a few forensic medical examiners, and they'll tell you, that's all pretty normal with an autopsy. I know. It sounds kind of shocking on paper. And then you're like, oh, you mean this is just normal practice pretty much across the board? Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Crum stood at the podium and said Mitchell didn't know why they held the throat back. And that framing makes it sound like something is being hidden, or someone is hid something. And we'll come back to whether that's actually true in a few moments. So stick with me there. And I do welcome your comments in the in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description. There was also a red discoloration in the soft tissue at the back of Nolan's skull. Crump called it significant, and we'll come back to that too. Is it significant? Has Crump said a lot of things in this case so far that really haven't turned to pan out to much of anything, other than getting a lot of people upset in ways that maybe they don't need to be, on facts that aren't actually facts. Now, I'm still sitting here telling you, we don't know. We do not know. But one man's conjecture is not fact. Just like another person's conjecture over here saying, well, it can't be foul play. Also, not fact. We don't know. And the autopsy is just one big piece of evidence in this case. As I've said before, that phone's going to tell us a hell of a lot more. So is everybody else's phone around him that very day. We've done a video on that. It's in our feed if you want to go and check that out. But this one is about the autopsy. And the state's autopsy. The complete one, performed July 7th. That has not released a single finding as of yet. 15 days of silence in the people who had the most information. Again, we will get there. First, the two questions. This is the part nobody is seemingly separating very honestly, at least not many. Question one, was someone physically responsible for Nolan Wells' death? Dr. Mitchell checked. He performed additional dissections on the decomposed body. He examined every structure available to him, and he found no fractures anywhere. No deep tissue injuries anywhere. No lacerations. The report is specific. Mitchell looked for evidence of blunt force trauma sufficient to cause death, and he did not find it. Those findings hold regardless of the limitations in the report, regardless of what organs were available, regardless of decomposition. If someone had beaten an 18-year-old athlete severely enough to kill him, the skeletal evidence survives. The deep tissue evidence survives. Mitchell would have found it, with or without the lungs, with or without the neck structures, with or without the brain. He didn't find it. That is a finding, a clear one. And the family's legal team has been remarkably quiet about it, because it doesn't seem to serve the pressure campaign that their attorney and those who want to latch on to the family for their own reasons, it seems, want to maintain, need to maintain. They've dug a hole, and now, that's what makes me sick about this whole damn thing. We don't know what happened. And when you prey upon a grieving mother and father who have every damn right to be sensitive and hyper aware and hyper vigilant and asking more questions than the average white guy in Mississippi would ask about a suspicious death, that's sick. They have every right to do that. What they don't need is someone who's going to fan flames without actual information, without actual facts. Now, if evidence points in those directions, we go there. We look, we dig, we need to go there. But I'm telling you, thus far, driving down the highway, I'm not seeing any ramps that point in that direction. Nothing solid yet. Anyway, might we find it? We might. We damn well might. Like I said, that phone and the phones around, that's going to reveal everything. That's going to tell you everything. And if it tells you a big fat nothing because they were in the water and nobody really knew where Nolan went, well, damn, I mean, that certainly makes it even more heartbreaking and confusing, especially if you're a parent, because you certainly want answers. But unfortunately, in reality, sometimes that's how things like this occur, because no one knows exactly what happened except for the dead person. And like I said, dig, ask the questions, look at it all. Just don't jump off cliffs because somebody's, the water's deep there. It'll be great. Jump. Go for it. Do it. You'll love it. It'll be, it's wonderful. Of course it's a, say, like, it's not. We don't really know how deep that water is yet. We don't. We do not know. I hate seeing people being taken advantage of. And look, if this runs into a road where it shows us that there is something nefarious, okay, then good. I'm glad there's somebody that helped get us there, but there's people that can get you there too without fanning flames of speculation before there's actual fact. That's all I'm saying. It could be something nefarious. Still kind of waiting to see that, though. Question two. Did Nolan Wells drown? If he drowned, was he conscious or unconscious when he entered the water? Mitchell could not answer this. He could not directly observe the airway and lungs for water. He could not directly observe the stomach for gastric contents. He could not examine the intact anterior neck structures. He did not have the toxicology results. And every one of those is a tool a forensic pathologist uses to determine drowning. And every one of them was unavailable to him. Doesn't mean it's unavailable. Those things are being examined. That is why the finding is undetermined. Not because the evidence suggests something sinister happened, because the specific evidence needed to answer the drowning question was not accessible to the second pathologist. It was never going to be. That's not you. It's not how the process works. Again, you can't peel an orange twice. You can't. It makes you wonder a little bit about before they even got the results back, before, from an attorney standpoint, I'm not speaking of the parents. The parents are unfortunately along for this hellish ride. It makes you wonder, who's strategizing on the other side going, okay, well, we know that they can't tell us this, so let's make it sound like they're holding something back, even though there's really nothing to hold back, but because this is how an autopsy works. The general public doesn't know that, but if we omit that little factoid, people will be suspicious. Yeah, they will. They will. You're also being dishonest. You're also not being transparent on how these things work. You're lying by omission. And hoping nobody connects the dots to go, oh, you mean this is how they all work? Yeah. That distinction, trauma versus drowning, is the entire honest conversation about this case. The family's legal team is using the drowning determination gap to imply that physical violence might have occurred. But the physical violence question was answered, and the answer was no. Law enforcement on the other side is using the absence of trauma findings to close the book. That's not okay either. But the drowning question has not been answered publicly. Both sides are merging two separate questions into one because keeping them fused serves their position. You see, this is why it's important to stay in the middle until you actually have answers. And to call out inconsistencies, mistruths, misstatements, misdirection on any side of this. Because I'll tell you, it's misdirection when someone goes and says, oh, it doesn't look like foul play, when there's been no autopsy yet, no investigation. Like, that's misdirection, intended or not. Misdirection, yes, without a frickin' doubt, when your sheriff goes and says, that's stupidity, really, I think, at its core. Misdirection at a more extreme. Ignorance, probably at best. It's also all of those things if you're saying and trying to equate information you could not physically gather in your second autopsy because you just can't. You can't examine those things in a second autopsy. And to insinuate that because of that, it must mean this, or suggest maybe it means this, when even if you could have answered those, if you've been part of the first autopsy, still would not reveal what you're asserting that it might mean. Again, that's the same sort of deal, misdirection. And it helps no one. It helps absolutely no one. Nolan is dead. He's not coming back. You know who's still alive? His parents and his friends who loved him, who he grew up with, who he'd spend weekends with. They're not, if they had nothing to do with this, nobody. Very real people whose lives are being attacked and torn apart by the mob who wants to virtue signal how right they are with an incredible lack of facts. Who does that help other than that individual who's so empty inside that they need to attach themselves to a stranger's case to feel whole? By going down a vitriolic route when there's no data to be marching out in any way. Again, if the evidence shows this way or that way, some way, we follow it. And then cause and effect makes sense. Outrage makes sense. It doesn't make sense when it's not being based on much of anything yet. Now, the findings in detail. Mitchell identified a focal area of red discoloration in the soft tissue at the back of Nolan's head near the occipital region. I probably said occipital region. I'm not a doctor. No skull fractures beneath it. No lacerations in the skin around it either. Mitchell's report says the cause of that discoloration remains unknown. It could be injury. It could be decomposition. It could be post-mortem artifact from the body's position in the water. The report does not say which. Crump presented it as significant. Mitchell's report presents it as inconclusive because it's inconclusive. It's a lot of reasons that could be. And if there was lacerations, if there was an attack, if there was something that hit you there, there'd be evidence of that. And there's not. I've watched many forensic pathologists and examiners now talk about this specific case and that specific thing and who have no dog in this fight. Blood pools. There's a lot of reasons for it. And the evidence that exists doesn't point to trauma. Two forensic experts who had nothing to do with this case looked at that same finding and came to very different readings. Dr. Michael Baden, a former medical examiner, said it doesn't suggest foul play. He described it as a superficial impact consistent with bumping into debris in the water, something that could have happened before death or after. He called it a minor injury that could be totally innocent. He said Mitchell was reaching for straws. Dr. Kendall Von Krauns, the chief medical examiner in Tarrant County, Texas, told CNN the finding is genuinely ambiguous. The discoloration could represent decompositional changes of the muscular structure, or it could be from blunt force injury to the back of the head and neck, except for the fact that there isn't blunt force injury to the back of the head or neck consistent with that. One expert says it's nothing. One expert says, could be either. Neither of them is lying. After 6 days of decomposition and two autopsies, the tissue itself may never settle the question. I never thought it would. It's a legitimate unknown. It's not a smoking gun. It's not an exoneration. It's red discoloration with no fracture beneath and no way to determine what caused it at this stage. The limitation in Mitchell's report sound alarming if you read them in isolation. In context, every one of them is a standard consequence of being the second pathologist to examine a body, the organs removed and dissected during the first autopsy. That's how an autopsy works. You can't unpeel the orange. Place back inside the body cavity for a second pathologist to review. That is textbook forensic protocol. It's not suspicious. It's not weird. It's not somebody doing something nefariously. It is how this works. The internal autopsy follows a standard sequence: corneal scalp incision, brain removal, Y-shaped incision to the torso, organs removed and examined individually. Mitchell's own report describes this procedure as expected. The throat, the anterior neck structures, the trachea, the hyoid bone, airway, were retained by the Mississippi State Medical Examiner's Office. Crump told reporters Mitchell didn't know why they held the throat back, but Mitchell's own report calls the retention of anterior neck structures common forensic pathology practice. Wonder why they're doing it. I'm going to pitch this as being suspicious, even though we know this is very common practice for an autopsy. So is it really suspicious, or is that the narrative you'd like to continue pushing down? I'm confused. Who are you helping here? Are you helping the family? Are you helping them grieve? Are you helping them work through this in a balanced way that truly will benefit them long term mentally? Or are you going down a road that you want to go down? Gets you a lot of attention. It's kind of become your MO, really. Every generation has them. Layer by layer, dissection of the anterior neck is a required component of evaluating potential trauma. Removal for exterior examination is standard. ABC News independently confirmed with doctors not involved in the case. That's routine for pathologists to retain organs or tissue for deeper examination. Secondary autopsies are inherently more difficult than the primary for exactly this reason. The Mississippi State Medical Examiner released a statement on July 22nd saying its autopsy was performed in accordance with the standard procedures and protocols followed for all autopsies. Mitchell's own report agrees. Independent physicians agree. The limitations that made the independent autopsy inconclusive are not the result of misconduct. They are not evidence of a cover-up. They are the unavoidable structural reality of being second in line. No independent autopsy in Mississippi, in D.C., anywhere in the country would have had access to the airway in its original condition, the lungs before dissection, or the stomach contents before examination. The first pathologist always gets the most complete picture. That is not a conspiracy. That is forensic pathology. Mitchell listed 7 outstanding questions at the end of his report, and they are not accusations. They are the gaps that remain. What led Nolan Wells to enter the water? What position was his body in when found? Was there water in his airway? Was there evidence of injuries to his neck? Was there intracarnal hemorrhaging? What was in his stomach? What did the toxology determine? 7 questions, 5 of them, the airway, the neck, the hemorrhaging, the stomach, the toxology, can only be answered by the first autopsy, the state's autopsy, the one that had everything Mitchell didn't. That autopsy was performed on the morning of July 7th, one day after the body was recovered. The pathologist had the airway in its original condition. He had lungs intact. He had the stomach contents. He had the anterior neck structures. He had the brain. Had first access to a body with far less decomposition than what Mitchell received 3 days later. The stakes examination is the most complete forensic picture of Nolan Wells' death that will ever exist. It was completed 15 days before the independent results were made public. It has not been released yet. Jackson County Coroner Bruce Lind Jr. said the state's report isn't out because some results, including toxicology, are still pending. Some of those, unfortunately, take time. He said the release would have to come from the prosecutor's office. Jackson County District Attorney Angel Myers-McLarth has not responded to requests for comment. The Jackson County Sheriff's Department has provided limited information about the investigation and has not responded to press inquiries from Mississippi Today or other outlets. Meanwhile, Sheriff John Ledbetter told ABC News he suspects Nolan drowned. Well, the investigation remains officially open. That's the same tension the family has flagged from the start. A public conclusion announced before the public evidence exists to support it. I wish officials would just shut up. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Not, I think, I feel, maybe, looks like. You know, if you want to say that because you're a podcaster, you're Joe on the street, you're Sally in the subway. I just made that one up. Whatever. I mean, everyone's entitled to an opinion. I like to base mine on fact. I like to base mine on information, not feeling. Is that what opinions are? Feelings? No. Opinions really should be based on fact. That's how you develop an opinion. Feelings are feelings. Feelings are the gut punches you feel initially when you hear about something, and your prior experiences rush to your brain and tell you, well, this might be like that. That's called confirmation bias. And a lot of feelings are built on confirmation bias. And look, there's plenty of freaking reason to have confirmation bias in Mississippi. When a black person dies, without a freaking doubt, ask the questions, demand answers. But we also have to take the answers in. And if they confirm something different than what that confirmation bias is, that those of us looking at this with history as a prism, going, well, it's Mississippi. I don't necessarily trust this or that. I really want to, you know. If it comes back and it shows, yeah, you know what? Amazingly, this might not have been some sort of horrific racial crime. Then maybe it's not that. The evidence that exists with the friend group, again, none of it really appears to point in any way, shape, or form that there was some sort of animosity between him and his friends that were not of the same color. They didn't really seem to see all that. You know who seemed to see all that? Everybody out here. Everybody out here who wants to say, you mean there's not animosity and you don't? Like, no. Believe it or not, a lot of people who live in environments with people of mixed races and different ethnicities and every different spectrum of everything, you don't tend to see all that much because this is your normal. These are the people that you love, the people that you care about, the people who are around you on a daily basis that support you and help make you who you are. They're a part of you. So it's insanely insulting to them for strangers to go in and turn it into something that and define relationships that they know nothing about, were never a part of, and are completely contrary to reality. If there was evidence of Nolan having a bunch of racist friends, look, we're almost a month out from this happening at this point. I think we would have seen some evidence of it by now. There would be text messages. There would be images. There would be video. These people film most of their lives. They're young. They are attached to their cameras most of the time, except for when they go to the ocean with no service. If there had been a track record of any of that leading up to here, I think we probably would have seen some of it by now. And well, maybe they're scared. Maybe like that. Maybe, but I mean, we're talking a lot of people here and no leakage. Again, wherever the evidence takes us, if that stuff exists, if anybody has evidence of that, please put it out there. If that exists, I beg of you, put it out there. And if it doesn't, well, then it doesn't. That's why you have to follow the case where it takes you. Not where someone over there wants you to go with it. Mitchell wrote in his report that in cases where a death occurs in or around water with a suspicion of drowning, it is important to confirm how that person entered the water. Not that that's suspicious, but how did he get there? Well, there was hundreds of people going in and out of the water. He was one of them. That could be the answer. I'm not saying it is. I don't know. He wrote that this information is especially important for deaths of persons who can swim. Nolan could swim. Mitchell called the condition of Nolan Wells before he entered the water the crux of the matter. He said determining that condition would be of utmost importance, and he could not determine it because the evidence he needed is sitting in a file he does not have. So strip away the press conferences and the competing forensic opinions and the national spotlight. What the independent autopsy tells us, stated plainly, no evidence of physical violence was found on Nolan Wells' body. No fractures, no deep tissue injuries, no lacerations. No question of how he ended up in the water and whether he was alive when he went in remains unanswered. Not because the evidence doesn't exist, but because the examination that has it hasn't been made public. A combined $125,000 in reward money is on the table from Al Sharpton, Tyler Perry, and Terrell Owens. That money is offered for information leading to an arrest and conviction if a crime occurred. The NAACP passed a resolution calling for a complete federal review. The grand jury referral from the district attorney is still pending, and the family has an incomplete answer from a second autopsy, and silence from the first. Nolan Wells' family buried their son 2 days before these results were released. Christine Wells Wansley stood at that press conference in Chicago and said one sentence that cuts through every expert opinion and every legal strategy on both sides of the case. She said the only question they have is what happened to their son. She said hearing nothing from local authorities while holding preliminary autopsy results is heartbreaking and concerning. The people who may be able to answer that question have a completed autopsy, a pending toxicology panel, retained neck structures, and an open investigation. They also have a sheriff who already told the national media that he thinks what happened was, you know, nothing. That file could settle this one way or the other. It exists. It's being developed. The family that lost their 18-year-old son on a barrier island off the Mississippi Gulf Coast. The Gulf of Mexico. Is still waiting for someone to hand it over. We'll keep following it wherever this case goes. At the end of the day, again, we just don't know. But we're getting more pieces. We're getting more pieces of the puzzle. But they're not all here yet. We're not ready to solve the puzzle, Pat. So let's spin the wheel again. See where it lands. Again, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we try to deliver you a very clear, honest, balanced view of this case. We will follow it anywhere it goes. But this is where it sits right now. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino. Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second.
But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.